lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 287, 1, 2, and 3. Thy Spirit, O Lord, makes life to abound. The earth is renewed and fruitful the ground. To God ascribe glory and wisdom and might. Let God in his creatures forever delight. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 287.
Thank you. scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found not in the portion listed, but in the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel, and thereof chapter 36, beginning with the 21st verse. Ezekiel 36, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning with verse 21. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God, be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I the Lord build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I the Lord have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, As the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, and thou dost say that thou wilt yet be inquired of, and by the house of Israel to do it for them. And thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thus what thou hast revealed thyself to be in the days of old, we may know that thou art the same also today. And thou commandest us also to do the same, to inquire of thee, that thou mayest do it also for us. And Lord, thou knowest what we stand in need of, because we have just heard what thou art able to do unto a waste land and wilderness, how that thou art able to build it up again. Oh, thou knowest how far that we have fallen from thee, and we cannot bring ourselves back again. Oh, we are so afar from any ability of changing our dead and our sinful and our wandering hearts. Oh, that we stand in need of a mighty deliverer. We stand in need of an everlasting Savior. O Lord, we stand in need of Thee and of Thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, He was able to say unto the devil, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God only." O Lord, we are not able. Thou knowest all that we do serve. Oh, thou knowest the wretchedness of our hearts. Oh, we need that new heart that thou hast promised in thy holy word to give unto thy people. A new heart also will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Oh, Lord, we beseech thee then, who wilt be inquired of this by thy people. Oh, be inquired of it for us also in this day. Oh, we beseech it of thee, Lord, that thy name may be magnified and it might be glorified. Oh, that we might look back upon ourselves and that we may abhor ourselves for all that we have done against thee. O Lord, that thou would sprinkle that clean water upon us, and that we might be clean. Oh, that thou wouldst cleanse us from all our idols, that thou wouldst forgive us all of our many sins. But wilt thou take away also that stony heart out of our flesh, and wilt thou give unto us a heart of flesh? And wilt thou cause us, O Lord, to walk in all thy statutes and in all thy commandments? Oh, that we might walk as thy people do walk, and when they are before thee in thy glory, oh, then they do obey thee, and with all their heart and with all their strength. Oh, we beseech it of thee, Lord, to give unto us a little beginning of that blessed obedience. And wilt thou also increase it in the life of thy true people? Thou knowest their desire by times. Oh, when thou dost come, and when thou dost visit them, and when their heart is made large, oh, then they desire that thou wouldest, that thou wouldest be served by them. Oh, Lord, they cannot give it unto themselves. So many temptations where Satan does say, "Serve me, worship me, bow down to me." O Lord, thou knowest they have no power as thou hast power. Oh, then they are jealous of it. Oh, that thou may give it to them. Thou sayest, flee from idolatry. Oh, Lord, we need the power from thee. We need it from heaven, a divine power. Oh, we need a desire to be put in our hearts, because by nature we have no desire. Oh, all our idols and all the gods of this world, and we bow down to and we serve all the pleasures, all the enjoyments, and that will all end in a fiery death and an eternal suffering. Oh, Lord, wilt thou give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to perceive, and to understand, and to bow before thee. Oh, that thou may be everything to us, our all and in all, our altogether lovely, our chiefest among 10,000, and that we would give all the world for thee, and everything that our hearts do serve here below. Open our eyes, O Lord, open our hearts for the first time, but also by renewal, bless thy word. Also in this day, O give that it may be a profitable day upon our short journey that is quickly hastening to its end. Show us the purpose of our life. Oh, that we might see that we have turned everything upside down, and that our hearts may yet mourn because of our own iniquity. Oh, that we may be given so to bow at thy blessed footstool. Oh, to lay ourselves there as a wretched and as a miserable and a poor sinner who cannot deliver himself from all of his misery. Oh, Lord, show unto us thy great power. Oh, give us to desire to be changed, to be washed and to be cleansed, and show us the beauty of thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, he is to thee beloved. Oh, make him beloved also unto us, each and every one. Oh, that we could not miss that sacrifice that he has given, even his own life, for the sake of his church, all that he might pay for their sin, but that he also might send his Spirit, all that that Spirit may come also in these moments. Oh, be beseeched, O Lord, for thy own great and holy name's sake. That is the only reason that thou art able to do it. Thou canst not do it for our sakes, because we deserve only to be cast away from thee. But honor, Lord, thy dear Son. Oh, bring to him a seed that shall serve him. Oh, could it be even out of us and out of our children who have wandered so far from thee, with all the blessings that thou dost pour upon us. Oh, make us ashamed, Lord. Make us blush this day when we are standing before thy face. Oh, that we might desire that thou wouldest turn us from all of our evil ways. Oh, bless thy word to that end, to the children, to the young people, also to those that are old and cold. Oh, Lord, that thou may give, that thy Spirit may warm their hearts in this day to the blessed service of their Maker and their Creator. Oh, and that we could not miss him as our Redeemer and as our Savior, and that we would desire thee to be our God. Oh, Lord, look upon all those that have not thy word, that do know within their own conscience and that they have to stand before thee and give an account of all their deeds. Oh, they have never heard of Jesus. They have never heard of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they have never heard of him who was anointed of the Father. Oh, Lord, what maketh us to differ? Oh, give thy word to go forth then to all the lands of this world. And may it be also in our own land. And when all those even next to us, and when we go from home to home,
have not thy word therein, but the devil box. O Lord, wilt thou give an open eye to see the misery wherein we have brought ourselves? O give thy word to be brought even by our mouths to our neighbors, that they also may receive eyes to see and ears to hear. Look upon all those that suffer from serious diseases. Lord, thou knowest where that they are. Him that received surgery in the week that is gone by, for whom that thou hast made all things well to this moment. Help him, Lord. Humble him under thy goodness, and go before him in the way that lies before him and all others, that do suffer the consequences of our sin in a great way, in the mind or in the body, and when the body is breaking down. O Lord, that thou may give a cry to thee. O thou knowest that we do cry when our life that is in danger. O that we have no true desire for thee. But Lord, thou canst also use it to change the heart, to break the heart, to make it soft before thee, and to show unto us what our sin is, and to make a way for thy dear Son within our hearts. Oh, may it be also for those who have suffered accidents, a fall. Oh, Lord, remember our youth. Oh, give that they also may take heed to the callings that do come unto them in the days of their youth. Because we have here no continuing city. Oh, that we might seek one to come. Look on all thy servants and all that bring thy word. Also upon the mission field, those from among us and all that are sent in the established congregations, O Lord, that thou may supply for the needs of office bearers, those that are in vacant congregations. Help, Lord, O give the cries to come for the blessing, and that thou may show thyself as that great office bearer in the midst of our denomination also. Look upon all our youth, our children, our families, parents, the unborn, all those that are handicapped, those that suffer from addictions. Lord, look on those that lie in the prisons, the guilty, the innocent. Oh, that thou may look upon them and give that strength from above to bear up under all the way wherein thou leadest, a true repentance and a drawing nigh unto him who is able to forgive. And Lord, look on each and every one of us also in this afternoon hour. Oh, we are under thy holy word and testimony, and we have to give an account of these hours, even of this thy holy day. All that we have heard and that is come unto our ears on that great day of days, if we let it go in one ear and out the other, or if it does not affect our heart, then thou wilt come and thou wilt judge us according to all that thou hast given unto us. And when thou hast called and we have refused, oh, then it will be so just of thee to say, thou callest now, and I refuse. O Lord, bind then upon our hearts, both young and old, even in these moments, that thy word, that thy law, may have a place in our heart for the first, or by renewal, draw us, Lord, and we will run after thee. Forgive all that is amiss, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 306, stanzas 1 through 4. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise his name with one accord. Bless ye the Lord. His name adore from this time forth forevermore. From this time forth forevermore. 1 through 4 of Psalter 306. Beloved congregation, what a sad moment. That moment in the life of our first parents. That moment that Eve, when it entered into her heart for the very first time, when her heart was inclined to do what the Lord had forbidden, inclined for the first time to disobey the commandment of the Lord. That was, congregation, the first human sin. It was an evil inclination that has come up in the heart that was made pure, that was made only with a desire to obey and to submit itself under all the statutes and the ordinances and the commandments of the Lord. But in a heart that was tempted, in a heart that was tempted to seek independence, that it would not have to anymore remain under the direction of God. And what a flood did follow this inclination. What a flood did follow this sin. So that when the Lord now looks down from heaven upon the children of men, then he must say that he can find none. None that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That is now the horrible pit that Christ has come to deliver his church out of. He says, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. That restoration of Christ, that is not to merely forgive, but that restoration of Christ is to bring his people back. It is to restore them into obedience. That is to deliver them not only from the guilt, not only from the pollution, but also from the commission of sin. That is true conversion. That is what we have heard of. He has come to make the yoke of his people light. He has come to make the burden of his people easy. He is applying grace. Grace to remove the sting of that punishment. To remove the sting of death. And then leaves them what David was left with. What was David left with in his heart by his spirit? He says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Oh, that is what God's children this day, they are come up with such a desire. O Lord, wilt thou enlarge my heart? And wilt thou make my heart big? And wilt thou give me desire? Wilt thou draw my soul after thee? And then, then I will run. And thou wilt not enlarge my heart, then I will not run. But when thou wilt enlarge my heart, then I will run the way of thy commandments. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 34, the second part, is the subject of our consideration for this afternoon. God's law, the first commandment, concerning whom we must worship. That is, first, the true knowledge of God, and second, the true worship of God. God's law, the first commandment, concerning whom we must worship. First, the true knowledge of God, and second, the true worship of God, which is explained to us in question and answers 94 and 95. What doth God enjoin in the first commandment? That I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul, avoid and flee from all idolatry, sorcery, soothsaying, superstition, invocation of saints, or any other creatures, and learn rightly to know the only true God, trust in Him alone. With humility and patience, submit to Him. Expect all good things from Him only. Love, fear, and glorify Him with my whole heart, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures rather than commit even the least thing contrary to His will. Question and answer 95, what is idolatry? Idolatry is, instead of, or besides that one true God, who has manifested Himself in His Word, to contrive or have any other object in which men place their trust. Thus, that I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul, avoid and flee from idolatry. Thus we may ask, do we desire the salvation of our own soul? Do we desire that salvation sincerely? How much do we desire the salvation of our own soul? Because here our fathers lay that as it were, a standard. They say there should be nothing that we desire so much as the salvation of our own soul. But congregation, how much do we even think about the desire, about the salvation of our own soul? Idolatry. Instead of or beside that one true God who has manifested Himself in His Word to contrive or have any other object in which men place their trust. Place their trust. Well, what happened then, young people, to that promise of the devil? Because what did the devil promise our first parents? The devil says, you shall not need God anymore. God, who would be God? God does not need to depend on anyone. He does not need to trust in anyone. So you will be just as God. You will not need to trust in anyone. So what now happened? What now happened? Now you may see that the devil is a liar. Because now look at men in the world. And look at all the things wherein men in the world are looking to place their trust. Is it true then that man has become as God, that he is self-sufficient, that he is able to provide for himself, that he is able to preserve himself, that he can uphold himself, that he can give himself what is necessary to exist in this world? Oh, then it becomes evident who that devil is, the liar from the beginning. Idolatry, that is to love, that is to trust in anyone or anything other than that one true God. That is to attribute worthiness of love or of trust in it, just as if it were God. That is abominable to God. That is to attribute power to something like we attribute power to God. That is to attribute wisdom to something or someone. That is the wisdom of God. That is the goodness of God or the justice of God to a man. That is to be, as it were, to give, as it were, God one to compete with him in our hearts. That is abominable. But it is especially abominable to the people of the Lord, to whom that this law was given in a special way, Mount Sinai. Then the Lord said unto them in the very beginning of that law, that he is God alone, and that he will be served alone. What does he say? I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thus the Lord revealed himself unto his own people. He says, I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. I am the I am that I am. I am the eternal. I am the unchangeable. I am the self-existing God. I am he that does not need to trust, to depend on anyone. I exist all by myself. We cannot worship God without a knowledge of God. And therefore, God is revealing unto his people something about who he is. Where does he do that? He does that in his holy word. Thus, in the first commandment, there is our first requirement. That is that we must know him. Do you know him? Do we know him? Do we desire to know him? Do we seek to know him? Where do we seek that knowledge? Because that knowledge is found in the Word of God. Do you say, oh, I know so little of him? Is that then a burden to you? Is that then a grief? Is that your guilt? That we have lost that knowledge of him in paradise not only, but we have not sought the true knowledge of God, like we have sought maybe knowledge of everything that is in this world. He says, I am Jehovah. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the ending. I am the source of all good. Everything begins and ends with me. I am the creator. I am the redeemer of the entire universe. I am the supreme. I am the almighty God. I am the Lord. So the Lord begins with his people by distinguishing himself from every other supposed deity. He says, I am Jehovah. Not only so, but he also speaks about the relation that he has unto them. That was a very special relation. He says, not only I am Jehovah, but he says, I am the Lord, Jehovah, thy God. Who could fathom that? Oh, would you like the Lord to say that to your soul? I am the Lord thy God. Do you say, oh, if I may have him as my God, if he would be my God, that I would be his child? The Lord owns his people here, and not only owns them, but he reveals it to them. He says that to them, that I am the Lord thy God, that they may know that, and that they may have that knowledge for their own comfort. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. What does he do? And he reminds them of what he did for them. Why would he do that? Well, he does that for a reason. Because he is going to lay his law before them. But he wants them to obey that law out of a certain motive. And so he is laying out for them all his goodness. Do we not read that in the Word of God? Knowest thou not that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance? And so the Lord reminds them. He says, look now and remember what I have done for you. Because now it is out of this that I want the spirit of obedience to my law. That must be a spirit of gratitude, whereby thou dost obey my law. Then I do not say that you need to obey that law in a legal manner. No, I make your burden light. I make your yoke easy. Then you may do it now in a way that is so sweet. And thus the Lord would draw unto himself his own people into that blessed obedience. That law that is to be kept with a sense of the obligation that people have unto him. And that is creatures of reason that he has given unto them to think and to look back and to say, what has the Lord done for me? That's true already of the whole creation. But it is now especially true of that redeemed church of God, that they owe something. We owe something to the Lord. And that church is indebted to him, because the Lord has delivered them. And what deliverance is greater than the deliverance from the bondage of sin? Is there anything greater than that? What can you think of that is greater than that? You may be delivered from a sickness. You may be delivered from your enemies in this world. You may be delivered from, well, so many things. But now to be delivered from sin, to be delivered from its guilt, to be forgiven, to be delivered from the reigning of sin in your heart, all that it would not have dominion over you, is that now not the greatest thing that a person can possibly receive in this world? And now the Lord says, this is what I have done for you. I have delivered you, my people, out of the land of bondage. And now are you going to turn? Are you going to turn away from me? And are you going to look unto other gods? Are you going to be like Ahaz? What did he do? He conquered Damascus, the Syrians. And then he looked in their temple. And he says, oh, beautiful altar. the altar to that God whom they, who could not save them in the battle. But he takes that form and he will bring that into the house of the Lord. Oh, will you do that, my people? After I've delivered you out of that land of bondage, will you now turn away unto the service of other gods? No. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Before me. That is, before my face. Before my face. Will you bow to an idol before my face? Everything, my people, is before me, before my face. There is nothing that is hid from me. I search the inward parts, and I do require from thee that hidden part. I know, my people, it is before me whom you worship. I know whom you esteem. I know whom you love. I know whom you trust. I know what draws your heart. I know it is before all before me that sorrows me, that grieves me, that provokes me also to jealousy. O congregation, even by virtue of the creation and of providence, the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah in the first world provoked God. They provoked him to anger with their love and with their service of sin. And Paul says that even the Gentiles are without excuse, because the creation itself, he says, is a sufficient witness unto them who he is. And now he says, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Ah, that is among my own people. Because if the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Why? Because of what I have given unto you. And now the Jews were instructed in the knowledge of God. But it was not enough. Because they knew who he was, but they did not worship him. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What is that? The worship of him, or to not worship him. That is our second thought. The sin against the first commandment is a sin of inordinate affections. It is a sin, congregation, all having to do with love. It is the sin of the lack of the love of God. It is to love the creatures, the creation, more than God. Christ says we cannot serve two masters, because either we will hate the one or love the other, or we'll hold to the one and despise the other. We cannot serve God and mammon. And here is now the fountain. The fountain of what? Coldness of our affections to Jehovah. Coldness of our affections to Jehovah. Where does it come from? It comes from the love of sin. It comes from the love of vanity. It comes from the love of the world. And we can pretend that we can serve God and mammon in front of one another, because we all come into the house of God and no one can look in our heart. But the Lord does look in our heart. The Lord says, before me, that is, before Jehovah. And he says, you cannot pretend that, because I know who is first in your heart. And I know what is second in your heart, because I am the searcher of the hearts. You know what the Lord said to the Laodiceans? He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. He says, I would that thou wert cold or hot. But because now thou art neither cold nor hot, but that thou art lukewarm, he says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Are you lukewarm? Are you lukewarm? Oh, was it never in your heart that it got hot? That it got cold to sin? That it got hot with the love of the Lord? Or was it never in your heart like it was with the men of Emmaus? That they said, our heart that burned within us. Ever so? Or is it always when you are all your life just coming and going from the house of the Lord, and just cold, or just lukewarm? Are you lukewarm? Was it ever congregation in your heart like Hannah, that you came into that house of the Lord with a troubled heart? And I don't mean just about the troubles of this world, because hers were more than just that she did not have a child. That is a great thing, that she did not have a child. That is a great burden. We may come into the house of the Lord with our burdens, but hers was deeper than that, because her heart, that was not just lukewarm. No, that was the service of the Lord. It was the love of the Lord that did burn in your heart, in her heart. Are you lukewarm? You make a confession. But is it now ever in your heart as it was with the bride? And you come in the house of God and you say, oh Lord, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth today, because thy love, O Lord, that is better than wine. And O Lord, I cannot miss thee, and I cannot miss thy favor. Oh, was there ever a tear, a hot tear, a hot tear that did flow from your eyes, that did flow from your heart? Oh, that lukewarmness, that is a sin, congregation, against that first commandment of the Lord. Because that commandment requires of us, every one of us, to love the Lord with all our heart, all our might, all our strength, all of our mind, with our whole being. Certainly you're not lukewarm about everything. Are you? Are you just lukewarm about everything? Oh, what is it that makes you warm? What is it that you desire? And then lukewarm concerning the Lord? Then it's an idol. Then it's an idol. Can you find him in your life? What makes your heart to burn? When that spiritual life that does not make our heart to burn, then we are an idolater. Oh, can you smite here a little for it? Can you abhor yourself as the Lord said he will make his people to do? I will make them to abhor themselves because of their idols. Oh, may you feel a little bit of the wretchedness, of the sinfulness that is living in your heart. Give yourself no excuse, because there is no excuse before him. We are guilty. You feel that? We need to feel it. And we need to be sprinkled. We need to be sprinkled with that blood of Jesus Christ for the sin of our hearts, for the love of our heart that is missing for the Lord. But we also need to be changed. Oh, do you desire also to be changed, to receive what the Lord says he would give unto his people? I will give them a new heart. Let us sing. 123:1-3. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hands spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within. 1 and 3 of 123. learn rightly to know the only true God, trust in Him alone, with humility and patience submit to Him, expect all good things from Him only, love, fear, and glorify Him with my whole heart. Trust in Him alone. Where does trust live? That is, in the heart. Thus, this commandment is a heart commandment. You know what it requires? It requires faith. It requires true saving faith. You say, I cannot convert myself. I know that. How do you know that? How do you know that? Because the Lord, He says unto His own people, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions so that iniquity shall not be your ruin. Is that how you found it out? In obedience to the command of the Lord to turn yourself from your iniquities? Trust. In Him alone. So we know what trust is. That is the most essential part, the essence, we would say, of faith. We all trust. We have to trust in this world. There is much trust in this world, a natural trust that is necessary just to live. We cannot live without trusting, because otherwise we could do nothing. If we did not trust that the Lord would uphold this universe today the same as He has upheld it yesterday, and all those laws of nature would work the same today as they worked yesterday, if we did not trust like this, we could not live. And we have trust in doctors. We have trust in medications, the congregation. There is so much of our trust that is not lawful. And why? Because we live just as if there is no God. Because we make a profession that there is a God, but we live indeed so often like a practical atheist. Saul, in the end of his life, went to the devil. He was so afraid. Our fathers, they speak here about sorcerers, and sorcerers, young people, are in league with the devil. And the Lord gives them permission to do things. That is, in His wrath. And that is that He allows persons, when they will go in such a way, to be deceived. Our fathers, they speak about superstition. That is not sorcery, but is still of the devil. That is attributing the effects of things in this world to spirits, to evil spirits. So that is even the reason that you go on an airplane sometimes and there is no row 13. That is superstition. That is a sin against that first commandment of the Lord. In saving faith, then there is also a trust that is a very special trust. That is a trusting in the mercy. That is a trusting in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, like that thief and all of his guilt and in all of his unworthiness. And that was so honoring to Christ, so honoring to His Father, so honoring to the Spirit of the Lord, because he believed promise of the Lord Jesus Christ that He would die for sinners. And that man was given to cast his whole case upon that promise of the Lord, even in the last moments of his life, when he was so unworthy and he could not bring forth one single thing, nothing. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Mercy is my only hope. Mercy is my only plea. And was he put to shame? He was not put to shame. No, the Lord says that he will not put to shame those who trust in him. Cain said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He said, it is greater than that it can be forgiven. He did not value that sacrifice and that Christ would give. He did not value it above, at the height that it ought to have been valued, at the value that it actually contains. He says there is no hope. No hope. He says the justice of God can never be reconciled with his mercy. Cannot. That is a sin against that first commandment of the Lord. Because it does not behold the greatness of the mercy of God according to the way that the word of the Lord is declaring it. Because Paul says, the law entered that the offense might abound. But, he says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And now that is unbelief of that word of God. And when the soul sees sin as higher than the value of the blood of his only begotten son, it is not true. And when the Lord will open a man's eyes, then he will see. Then he will believe. Then he will trust. Oh, I think sometimes. Oh, how would that have been if a man like Judas, oh, can you imagine that that man, had he come, humanly speaking, oh, from the Lord's side, that is all written in his book. But now, humanly speaking, if that man had come and he had bowed before the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, what an honor. What an honor that would have been for him to magnify the grace and the mercy of God and the value of the sacrifice of his own son. When that man would have received forgiveness for his sin. But he would not give Christ that honor. And so he honors Christ now in that pit where the smoke of his torment is ascending up forever and forever. All the benefits for that church, they are so very great. And they are not only spiritual, but they are also temporal benefits. Temporal benefits, and yet how many times is the church of God not anxious? That is the sin of the church. Because the Lord has bought for them everything that is necessary for them in this life. And now they ought to trust. What did the Lord say to his disciples? He says, why are you fearful? O ye of little faith, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them cannot fall to the ground without the will of your heavenly Father. Where does anxiety belong? Anxiety for all that is in this life, that does not belong with the church. That belongs with the reprobate. It belongs with the wicked. Often they are attempting to rely. Often they are attempting to rely and to trust on promises of God that are not given unto them. O Agag, he says, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel hewed him to pieces before the Lord. He slew him. Why? All that man had no right, he had no warrant, we would say, to trust in the mercy of God. Why not? There was no repentance. There was no repentance. And when there is no repentance in our heart and there is no turning, then we should not think that we are going to be the recipients of his mercy. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Our fathers speak about fearing him with all our heart. What is fear? That is, children, to be afraid of punishment. Then we are afraid. Oh, the fear of God hates sin and is actually ready to suffer. Rather than to sin, love and fear of God are actually somewhat different. Love desires the communion with God, and the fear of God, that is fleeing from the separation with God. So really that is the same coin, just two sides of that same thing. The love of God and the fear of God. And there is slavish fear. And then there is godly fear. Those are also two very different things. Slavish fear does not repent. Slavish fear is only a fear for the punishment. Slavish fear flees from God as one who is angry, and as God, as a God who would destroy him because of his sin. But godly fear is filial. What does that mean, children? That means it belongs to children, godly fear. That has to do with a relation that is a father and a son. Do you think when you sin, your father is going to destroy you? Oh, of course not. You say, my father loves me. And still you're a little afraid, right? Oh, still you can be afraid because you get a punishment. But what does that filial fear do that is not running away from Father? No, it's going toward your Father. It is seeking from your Father that love that you know exists in the heart of your Father. Oh, godly fear that makes a man careful. Like Joseph, right? He said to his brothers, well, you all stay. Y'all stay, one goes back, and he has to bring Benjamin, and now y'all go in the prison. 3 days later, he brings him again. He says, men, I fear God. I fear God. You better all go back. Just one stay. You better all go back and bring food to your households. Oh, the fear of God. Eli feared his sons more than he feared God. That is to attribute something to a man that actually belongs unto God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thus he made an idol out of his sons. Our fathers say with humility and patience to submit to him with humility. Why? Because we are not God as we wanted to be and as we tried to be. And now we find out that we are not God. And then we say sometimes, well, I have my own will. This is what I want to do. And then we make a God of ourselves. But Eli still had that tender fear of God. He said, it is the Lord. Oh, let him do what seemeth good unto him. Oh, what greater evidence do we have if of the true fear of God, when we may in true humility bow under that blessed will of God. That is not because we can't change it, because that's what the world has too. You say, don't sweat the things like that you can't change, right? Don't think about those things. Well, that's just a worldly thing that lives in the heart of everyone. That is not godly fear. No. Godly fear that is glad with what the Lord does, because the Lord does it right. It is glad that it is done because I am not God, but because God is God. Thus, humility that renounces our own wisdom, our own prudence. It says the Lord knows better than I. Maybe sad, but it acknowledges the supremacy of God. With humility, our fathers say, and patience. Job says, we read about Job. James says, you have heard of the patience of Job. He waited on God. He waited on God as God. David says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Thus patience. Patience does not murmur under trials, under afflictions. Also, when they are lasting a long time, patience recognizes that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Patience recognizes that the Lord gives no account to man of his matters. Humility and patience, thus they forfeit all the right that God would give an explanation to us of what he does. Puts his mouth in the dust and it lets God be God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How common is idolatry to fallen man that is living in the heart of each and every one of us. Very subtle. So often we profess that we know God, but in works, the Bible says, we deny him. We do not love him. We do not desire him. We do not trust in him. We do not look to him. We do not submit to him. That is all congregation. One thing, it is the life of an idolater. Feel that? That sin is very subtle, especially when it comes under the cover of things which are actually in and of themselves lawful. But we carry them to excess. Eating is lawful. It is not lawful to make a god of our belly. We eat to live. We must eat to live. But we may not live to eat. Thus what we make even of our own food. Cares are lawful. But cares to excess are unlawful. Saving for a rainy day is lawful. But it is unlawful, the Bible says, when a man cannot even eat of it. Then it becomes to him a curse. Oh, how deceitful, how tricky is the heart of a man. Above all things, the Bible says, it is desperately wicked. The law says, you may rest. And then we go enjoy the world. And then we say we are resting. Paul says, you must use this world as not abusing it. What do? We make it a distraction. We make it an idol. Why? Because God is not in all our thoughts. And God is not the desire of our heart. You say, I have to work. Right, young people? You have to work. 6 days, yes. But does that work now come in between that leaves you no time and no energy for the service of the Lord? Ah, then your work has come before the Lord, and then the Lord will curse it. Then your work has become to you your idol. You say we have to use means. Of course we have to use means. But what are we doing in our heart? Secretly, we depend on Him. We depend on Him. It is the means. And we forget all about God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Israel bowed down, we read in the Bible, bow down to idols. You say, foolishness. How could that be? God's people. They're bowing down to idols. What did they expect from a piece of wood? What did they expect from a stone? And then we wink at our own idols. What we love more than God is our idol. What do you love more than God? We'll think about that this afternoon. What draws you? Whatever it is, our work, our play, what is it that draws our heart more than God? Maybe your phone, young people. That phone. You love that phone more than God? Then it's your idol. Say, may I not have a phone? Sure. But has it become your idol? I cannot tell you that. You must ask yourself that. Do I love it? You know that. And God knows that. Do I love it? And what I see on it, and what I do with it, I'm attracted to it more than I am attracted unto God. Then be sure that it is idolatry. What do you fear more than God? Even our enemies can become our idol. Is our enemies an idol? Yes. When we fear them more than God, and we give them the power in our mind that is greater than the power of God, and has become unto us an idol. Oh, what we trust. What we trust more than God, that has become unto us, congregation, idolatry. Oh, what a blessed thing. What a blessed, blessed thing it is going to be for the church of God. Because they sit here today. They sit here today and they say, oh, oh, oh. What is living in my heart? Is there any fear of God that is living in my heart? Oh, what will that be? when the Lord is going to cleanse their people, when he will take them out of this life, and he is going to sprinkle that clean water upon them, and he is going to deliver them from all of their idols. You know what that will be? That will be paradise. Paradise. Paul says all things, when they are all subdued under the Son of God, and when that Son of God, he shall submit himself also to him that put all things under him. And Paul says, then God shall be all in all. Oh, then he is going to say to that people, thou art my people. But then also they are going to say unto him, thou art my God. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, open our eyes. Give us sorrow in our hearts. O prick our hearts with thy great goodness, that we may go from this place with a weeping heart and with a desire that we may turn again, and that thou wouldest cleanse us from all our idols. Oh, give us to walk in this world with a true heart, with a new heart, also before all the world, that they may see that we do not serve the world, that we do not love the world, that we do not trust in the world, but that God is our God. Humble us under all thy great goodness. Bless thy word in this day. Bring us safely home. Care for us in the week that is upon us, the children when they are away from school. Watch over and protect each and every one of them, and give us meditation upon thy word of truth, forgiving all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 308, 1, 2, and 3, not unto us, O Lord of heaven, but unto thee be glory given. In love and truth thou dost fulfill the counsels of thy sovereign will. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 308. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.